Blog Talk Radio.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Clan used to rally downtown in my city. And you wonder why the race relationship so shitty? Show no pity. That's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city. It's all over the TV. Martin Luther King. I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit. But the timing show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame. And never take no wooden nickels when they all
homie,
change.
I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture. Picture, picture, picture. I hope you see the big picture. Picture, picture, picture. I hope you see
they
the big picture.
Picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing. Check his resume and it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the Tech 9 and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip. I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches. But why you in the club with some trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick. But it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Bree told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stun. Homie, I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture. Picture, picture, picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.
All right. Welcome to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is the Big Picture with Melvin Sirius Jr. I decided to come back again tonight because I was actually, oh, first of all, let me thank my listeners, and I've been saying India, Ireland, thank you for tuning in. Germany, thank you for tuning in. Nigeria, my brothers, thank you for tuning in. Here in Canada, thank you as well as in the United States here for tuning in to me. And I'm just like, I'm humbled today. Like I say, this is one of those shows where I want to really try to direct our focus on us, on us. This show is going to be about us, the black family, the black man, the black woman, our need for each other. Black man, black woman, our need for one another needs to be understood. And today I'm hoping that I'm able to bring some clarity. Today I am hoping to say something positive. Today I am hoping to say something that will motivate us all to do better amongst one another. And to do better, especially when it comes to respecting the black woman and black woman respecting the black man as well. I'm not one-sided. I believe in equality, true equality. And if we're going to achieve true equality, we're going to have to start fixing each other. We're going to have to start paying attention to what's really wrong and what's really going on and what we really need to do to turn the damn tide. So now if we're not willing to do that, we are definitely going to be fighting an uphill battle. Before I get off into what I am going to discuss today and what I really want to lay out on the table, and I'm going to try to be as concise and precise as I can with this information. I'm going to try to put, I actually covered this information on a 3-week scale months ago, but I'm going to try to put everything back into, and I'm going to try to put 3 weeks worth of information into a couple of hours. So I may be doing a lot of solo talking tonight, depending on my callers. But nonetheless, I'm going to get the information out, because that is the most important thing, is getting the information out. And not only getting the information out, creating an understanding for the information. Because what I'm thinking is a lot of us don't understand the pertinence of the information that needs to be discussed. So what I'm going to do right here in the beginning, give me just 1 minute, people. I'm actually scrolling through the load board right now, so I'm looking for one thing in particular. Okay. Yeah, I want to play a clip real quick from Khalid Muhammad, and then I am going to come back so that we can get off into this discussion about the black family, the black woman, the black man, the significance of our need for one another. So let me play this clip, and then I'm going to come right back and get off into this.
Ain't got nothing to do with no Holy Quran. Ain't got nothing to do with no city called Mecca. He called you Muslim righteous by nature, because before there was a Quran, you were righteous by nature. Before there was a holy city, Mecca, you were a Muslim and righteous by nature. You weren't just making a holy pilgrimage to the holy city of Mecca. You were making holy pilgrimages to the sacred and the holy city of Abydos. You were making sacred pilgrimages to Ile Ife. You were making the sacred pilgrimage all over key points of Africa. And you understood the one God. You called the one God either in the feminine or in the masculine by different names. But you always believed in the one God long before there was a prophet, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I'm at the crossroads in my life, but there are things that I cannot forget and I cannot put down. I believe with all of my heart that the white man is the devil, and I must teach that he is the devil. I cannot back down from that. I must teach that he is the devil. All praise is due to Allah. Whether you like me or not, whether you accept me or not, whether you condemn me or not, whether you suspend me or not, the goddamn white man is the devil, and I will teach it from the cradle to the grave. Always teach it. Because I know that you are a fickle people. I know that you are a flip-flop, wishy-washy people. I know that you are different strokes for different folks, but it's different ways on different days. Oh, yes, you are. God damn it, if somebody don't continue to remind you, you'll try to walk in the slave theater with Susie Ron Wickle on your arm. Yes, you will. Damn it, sister, you'll try to come in here with Bob, Bill, Larry. Sister will try to come in here with Merv, with Doug. God damn it, Doug can't come in. Cindy, Kathy, keep Heather the hell out of here. No Heather in here. Hell no. This is the Slave Theater. Well, why does Brother Alton Maddox leave the name Slave on it? Because, goddammit, we're still in the land of our bondage. We're still in the land of captivity. We're still a slave to the Democratic Party. Still a slave to the Republican Party. You can't even see a Freedom Party. You don't see it. You're a slave. I'm a slave, and unless we admit that we are slaves, then we can never get free. Never get free. The first thing a slave must do is admit I'm in bondage, admit I'm in captivity, admit that I'm a slave and Giuliani is a slave master, admit that I'm a slave and Clinton is a slave master, admit that I'm a slave and Cuomo is a slave master. That's the only way you can get free. Stop walking around acting hip, slick, cute, and cool with Hoochie and Coochie and Poochie and Gucci and all that stuff. You're a slave. You can't wait to get out of here and get a good night's sleep so you can go to your elevator plantation tomorrow. You're a slave. You're a slave to your car note. You're a slave to your rent. You're a slave to your lease. You're a slave to your telephone bill. You're a slave to your light bill, your gas bill. You're a slave. And God damn it, this is the Slave Theater, and all the radical slaves come here. The Nat Turner slaves come here. The Harriet Tubman slaves come here. The Denmark Beasley slaves come here. This is the Slave Theater. All praise is due to Allah. This is the Slave Theater. I'm a slave. As I told Devil Hugh, Phil Devil Hugh, I say I'm one of the rebellious slaves. I'm not a peaceful slave. I'm not a compromising slave. I'm not a skinning, grinning, shuffling, scratching, boot-licking, butt-licking slave. I'm a slave that don't give a damn about you, cracker. Don't care nothing about you. Don't give a damn whether I see another cracker or not. I want to be free. I'm a slave who wants to organize the rest of the slaves. I looked at the crackers on 125th Street. Some of you trembled when you saw them. I was inspired. I couldn't sleep. I was dreaming of confrontation with the enemy. Every slave must dream of confrontation with the enemy. I want to organize some black men. What would have happened if 500 black men would have showed up on 125th Street? I ain't talking about with no damn picket sign. Huh?
All right, welcome back. Welcome back, family. I am, that particular piece to me, I don't know, it just the slave theater, and it describes us, to me, to perfection, how we, some of us, allow ourselves to be played by this system, used by this system. I actually spoke on this about 40 minutes ago on a live that I did because I don't understand why we continue to allow ourselves to be pimped, you know, and used by a system. Basically, what we do is we allow these platforms and everything else to make us a few dollars, but make them several. And what I have noticed, especially with the TikTok things and the Instagram as well, you know, is just how our sisters degrade themselves, how our sisters don't value themselves as more than ass and titties. I'm going to just say it and keep it real. And I want us as black men to stop. To stop promoting it, to stop allowing that to be the norm, allowing that to be what we consider normal. There's nothing normal about it. And then what does that do? That perpetuates the image of the black woman to the world, which also allows us to be used. And that's what we are. We're used for their entertainment purposes. We are used for, like the TikTok platform. Who owns that? And I don't know who owns it because I haven't really done any much research about it. I don't care really who owns it. But I know that it's probably not owned by someone who looks like me. But I know that by the content that has been, you know, provided to TikTok, and this is a daily thing, and I have people that send me TikTok videos, and I'm really trying to break away from this whole need for Facebook and their platforms, period, because once they start, like I say, once they start monetizing your antics, yeah, like I say, you're probably going to get a few thousand dollars, but also you are being played because, yeah, a few thousand dollars can compared to the millions that they're going to make is what is discouraging. And like I say, I was actually talked into using the Instagram platform, which I really don't use. I have put some material on it, pictures on it, but I really don't use it because, like, when you open it up, and I don't know how it is for females, but when you open it up on the male side anyway, there is just a whole lot of ass and elbows and titties. You don't really see anything or anyone doing anything of relevance, doing anything that can really bring about a true change to our condition. And to me, that is what matters. If we don't try to change how people look at us, why do we expect people to change how they look at us? Make that shit make sense to me. You know, and so I did some research. Like I say, I'm concerned about us and how we treat each other as black men and women, because how we treat each other as black men and black women it's discouraging. It's not in a uplifting manner. We're more disrespectful. Black women talk more shit about black men, and I'm gonna just keep it real tonight. because black women talk more shit about black men, but then wonder, I'm starting to wonder, like, how do you talk shit about black men, but then you expect a black man to be there? And I'm not saying that the black man shouldn't be there, because, yeah, the black man definitely needs to be there, but we have got to be a people about upliftment, a people about building better than what we have now. And see, it really doesn't seem like people are focused on that particular part of this. And black women, I'm going to, like I say, be real. Don't stop being what the system needs you to be towards us. Right now, we need each other. Black man, right now, we need the black woman. Black woman, you need the black man. I don't understand how you can feel as if you can conquer this world yourself. And the position that you have been put into is for a reason, because this evil system knows that if we come together, black man and black woman, they know our power. We don't know our power. And what I want us to really start understanding is our essential need for one another. I just can't, I can't express that enough. I really can't express that enough. And I'm just going to try to really, I'm just trying to be concise and precise about the things that I'm saying, because I don't want us to continue to tear each other down the way we do. And we do a lot of tearing down of one another as opposed to building up of one another. And the thing about that is, what's detrimental to the plight of the black family, because the black family has always been under attack. Let's just start there. You know, from the time they found us, we have been under attack. From the time that they brought us here, the black family has been under attack. And just think about what a lot of our ancestors had to go through. They had breeding farms. So this is something that was detrimental to the black family. Just the irrelevance of our dignity, I'll say it that way, of our culture. Because, yeah, like I say, they had breeding farms, and on these breeding farms, they would mask men, and some of these men were sleeping with their family members just to keep a stock, just to keep a stock of black men and black women who were available to work for free, who are still available, not working for free, but still with that, some of that same slave mentality. And let's talk about the system and the part that the system played in this separation. And we all know how it started back in 1619. And man, woman, and child, husband, wife were split up. Brothers and sisters were split up, sent off to different parts of the country to work for an evil system. And that took a lot of our culture. And then you had the degradation of the black man. The role of the black man was so minimal, in even in society today. They, like I say, will take our role and the importance of our role, because don't get it twisted, brothers. We need to start being there. Being active, being there, and being active. And we've all fallen short. But, hey, look, you have time. We all have time to fix what's wrong. Right now, we are afforded time to fix what's wrong. But how much time do we have left to fix it? See, and that's what we don't know. And that's why it's important for us to get started. That's why it's important for us to build solid families, build solid families which build solid communities which build solid nations. where we don't have to keep asking for the things that we can provide for ourselves. And see, that's the importance of family and knowing your role, because a lot of us seem to think that things are just going to fall in place just because. And no, things are not going to fall in place. Things fall in place when you work to put them into place. And we're not working to put anything beneficial into place for us. What are we doing right now that is going to benefit us 10 years from now? Because I'm telling you right now, TikTok ain't going to benefit us 10 years from now. These little Instagram shorts, that's not going to benefit us 10 years from now. So what can we do now to change and benefit us 10 years from now? Family is the most important thing we can do. And there's a pecking order, because you don't just follow a man because he's a man. No, he has to be a man worthy of being followed, not sitting around playing video games all day long, not contributing to the raising of the children, not contributing to the home itself. No, them kind of brothers, no, you don't submit to. You do not submit to. We need brothers who are out here ready to lead. We need brothers who are out here ready to stand strong. And also we need brothers who are not fearful. We need brothers who are ready to protect what is ours. And there's a lot that belongs to us. We just have not claimed it yet. And that's why I say it's important for the black family to reconnect to our own culture and reconnect to what is real and true for us, because we do have a culture and we do have a history. It's just been hidden and whitewashed from us, you know. So I say, with that being said, you know, there's a lot of work for us to do, and it's time for the black man and the black woman to start healing one another. Do you not see we're all under attack right now? The black woman is just as she's just as expendable as the black man, but this system uses our black women to keep the black man in place. Now, I say that and I meant that, and pay attention to what this system does. Pay attention to what this system supplies for our black woman. You know, but then too, they're not safe, brothers. Just because this system will give them certain perks that they don't give the black man doesn't make them expendable treatment. Because a lot of times the black woman, and right now the black woman is not even realizing, and this is just my opinion, the black woman has not realized how this system has used them. And this system has used them just as much as it's used us. And not only that, without the black woman, we have no future. We need the black woman, black man. We've got to have the black woman to procreate. We've got to learn how to respect the black woman so that she will respect herself. Because like I say, a lot of the things that the sisters are doing are for attention. There is for attention that they want that they're not getting. And I blame, like I said earlier, I do blame some of our brothers that are out here making our sisters insecure in who they are. The brothers who are out here telling and hyping our sisters to... I'm so tired. I'm going to tell you what. I'm so tired. And like every time you get on Facebook, I'm going to ride you like a rodeo. I'm so sick of seeing that shit. I'm sick of seeing that shit. And then the only people that I see doing that dumb shit are black women. So where's your pride? Where's your dignity? Is that all you have to offer is your ass and vagina? Because if that's all you have to offer, you're not going to get anything but the attention that you want. And see, then it confuses me because you get on these platforms, you put your ass all in cameras, you pull these biker shorts so far up in your vagina that you look naked, and then you wonder why a brother will not respect you. Then you wonder why when a brother approaches you, he approaches you in a manner that is undignified because he sees what you show him. And it's time for us as black people to start showing each other, first of all, respect. And like I say, I do blame that on the brothers. And then I'm going to break it down just from what I discovered in the numbers, because in the 100 percentile of black people, it's 52% female, 48% male. So let's subtract off the muscle, we're going to subtract 7%, because 7% of black men date outside and marry outside the race. So that breaks it down to 41% versus 52%. Then let's talk about this too. Let's talk about the percentage, and this is something that I still haven't Googled, but I'm going to go back and get the numbers on this because I like to know. And what I notice is, and I don't know what the percentage is of the homosexual male who dates strictly women, and who dates strictly men or are in a bisexual type lifestyle. I really would like to know the percentage of that number as well, because I really truly think that from that 41%, if you add in that particular population, it's probably another 7 to 10%, I'm guessing, which would take it down to a low 30 percentile for the men. And then we have the 52% out still remaining for the women. Now, out of that low 30 percentile, let's say 33% left of the black male population, you have to detract as well the prison population from that, which I am sure from, let's say what I said, 33%, you're going to have another strong deduction, another strong percentage of black males removed from the population. And I'm going to say, yeah, that probably takes it down to a mid-20, low-20. So you are going to have, out of 100% out of the black population, male and women, you're going to end up with a population, anyway, the number is 8-1, 7-1, 8-1 of black men for black women. And that's why I say, men, you're responsible for how these women are behaving, because I was talking to some sisters a few weeks ago, and we actually were talking about relationships, and the sisters were saying some things that I agreed with, but also some things that I felt like if men were true to who they were, women wouldn't behave the way they're behaving now. Because just because there is an overage of black women compared to black men doesn't mean that black men, you go out there and get 7, 8, 9, 10 women. And then you treat them any kind of way, and then you give them all these insecurities. And then when a brother that really loves and respects his queen, he gets them damaged. He gets one that one of you old gluttonous brothers got a hold to, and you tell her one thing, then you're telling another sister another thing. And I'm not knocking nobody for what they do. Don't get me wrong, because I'm nobody's judge, but there's a right and a wrong way to do anything. And if we just respect our women and treat our women right, we can help them build character. And then if we're respecting them and treating them right, that'll keep them off TikTok shaking their ass. That'll keep them off Instagram making reels and Facebook making reels, degrading themselves for attention. Because the thing that really is the driving force of the, I say, the meaning of the sister is that we don't treat our sisters the way that they're supposed to be treated. And we take our sisters for granted. So if we continue to take our sisters for granted, why would we expect the world to respect them? We got to respect them first. And then we, with that respect, like I say, comes a change in character. And with that respect, there comes a change in how a woman is going to feel when she looks in the mirror at herself. Because like I say, some women don't have the full body. Some women don't have the curves. Some women are not afforded those things. And then you have platforms that promote that. And that promotes insecurities. And then you have women out here who will do anything to get attention. And yeah, brothers, that's our fault. And we all have a mother. Some of us have daughters. We all have aunts and nieces and women who we want respected, no matter what. You know, we expect our mother to be respected. Exactly. We expect our sisters to be respected, our aunts to be respected. But then as men, we get out here and sometimes are disrespectful to women because we look at women, some of us, as only a piece of meat. Yeah, I said that. And sometimes that in itself is it's a failure. It's not only a failure to the woman that you're disrespecting, it's a failure to your own mother, to your own grandmother, to your own sisters, aunties, all of that. Because you know that if you discovered one of yours being treated the way some of us treat women, you would be very disappointed and yes, very upset. So why do we do it? Why do you do it? And see, I'm the kind of man, like I say, I don't need 7, 8, 9 women to make me happy. 7, 8, 9 women in my life would be a headache, would be something too much to handle. But some of us in our greed, and then some of us men in their need, they need a woman because they don't have anywhere to go. They need a woman because they don't know how to function without one, and then sometimes they don't know how to function with one. And like I say, we've got to stop being detrimental to ourselves, period, point blank. We have become so wrapped up in this world that we really don't show each other the compassion and the respect that we owe one another. And we are owed respect from many, but we don't have to wait for them to respect us when we can respect ourselves. Plain and simple, we can respect ourselves. And when we start respecting ourselves, then we can demand the respect from external ethnicities. But we first got to respect ourselves. And black women, I'm not trying to just dog the black man out, but I want the black man to realize what we have in the black woman. And I want the black woman to realize what she needs to be for the black man, because the black man does not require much. Out of the majority of the black men that I speak to, the most important thing, the number one thing, is just peace. Be our peace. Because we both, black man and black woman, deserve peace, first and foremost. And if we don't provide one another that sanctity of peace, we don't deserve to be here. look at how society does us as a whole. We are a stressed people. The black woman, she's stressed. The black man is stressed. We're both trying to figure out what we need to do. And the first thing we need to do is love one another, treat each other right. I'm just not understanding how some of us move to hurt others. I'm not understanding how some of us move and still respect, excuse me, and still expect to be respected. Because some of us are not even good for ourselves, the sad part about it. Because the people who are that gone, who are that narcissistic, who are don't see wrong in themselves are detrimental to the whole movement, because nobody is perfect. Nobody does everything right. All we can try to do is what is right. Nobody gets it right 100% of the time. So with that being said, like I say, black woman, love and respect the black man, because we're here for y'all. And I know there are many sisters who are here for the black man, but we sometimes feel as if we don't have anything to offer. And we all have something to offer. We can offer our truth. We can offer our knowledge. We can offer our respect. And those are the things that are going to matter, and those are the things that are going to truly change the condition. Because, see, the condition will not change until it is recognized by the majority. And sometimes I don't think we have recognized the severity of the situation and the condition that we reside in as black men and black women. And we have definitely got to start paying closer attention to who we are. We have got to start paying closer attention to how we move. It is essential, like I say, and I keep saying, that we help one another. Stop being so hateful and envious of one another and start actually providing the hope that we need. Black man, my brothers, what are we going to do to change the condition? What are you willing to do to change the condition? What are you willing to do to gain back the respect of the black woman? Because see, that like I say, if we cannot coexist together, we will not exist. And I see so much trying to tear us apart right now. And all I want to do, I want to see the black family rebuilding and doing things the right way, raising our boys to be men, raising our young women, our young ladies to be women, respectable women, women who don't have to take their clothes off just to get attention, women who don't have to put themselves out there. Because, see, this social media is really part of our downfall as well. Because you got brothers in here, like I say, pussy hunting. Excuse my French, but I'm going to keep it real. And that's what you got, because I was talking to some sisters the other day, and that's what I told them. I said, you got to steer clear of these pussy hunters. Because it's a element of man out here that don't give a damn, don't feel no love, no respect, no nothing for no woman. It's all about what you can do, when you can do it, how long you can do it, and let's do it. See, and you got a culture that permeates that. Like I say, with this TikTok revelation and all you see is ass and titties, and 90% of the women are black. So what kind of attention are you looking for? What kind of man do you expect to catch if all you're going to do is bend over and shake your ass for the world to see? See, we both cause one another's insecurities. Some people own up to their mistakes, and a lot of people don't, and that's why our issues never get fixed, because they are never addressed. And until we start addressing some of the demeaning situations and the demeaning things that we do to one another, we're not going to get better. We're only going to continue to backslide and do shit that's detrimental to one another. And I just don't get it. I just don't get it. I posted on my page a couple of days ago, I'm conformed and ready. And I know that went over a whole lot of people's head because we will, most of us will always jump into doing something that's wrong as opposed to jumping into doing something that is right to do. And until a majority of us start moving the right way, we're going to continue to suffer. And like I say, I want black family to start thriving. Why is it that we continue to try to do things their way? And I said this time and time again in the midst of this corona madness, is why can't we right now create some new normals that are going to be beneficial for us as the black man and the black woman? We owe that not only to each other, we owe that to the ones that are behind us. What are we leaving for them right now? What are we leaving for our youth besides a damn mess? Are we really leaving them something they can work with? Are we showing them how to be husbands and wives? Are we showing them how to be virtuous women? Are we showing our young brothers how to be gentlemen, how to treat and respect a woman, how to truly love a woman, how to truly forgive? See, we don't practice these things enough, but we practice what the world puts in front of us. We're quick to do that shit. Comes to doing something righteous and beneficial, we fall short. We fall way short. And that's why we don't have strong black families now. That's why we don't have strong black men now, strong young black men. And pay attention. See, because that's all done for a reason as well. And what we need to be doing is building, rebuilding. So the thing is that we will definitely prosper when we get it right. So let me take a quick break, and we're going to come back and dive into this as well. Give me just a few minutes, and thank you all for tuning in, listening. This is the Panther Party Radio Network. And this is The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr.
With the last words on my lips, I am a revolutionary. And you're going to have to keep on saying that. You're going to have to say that I am a proletarian. I am the people. I'm not the pig. We might not be back. I might be in jail. I might be anywhere. But when I leave, you can remember I said, with the last words on my lips, that I am a revolutionary. And you're going to have to keep on saying that. You're going to have to say that I am a proletarian. I am the people. I'm not the pig. You've got to make a distinction. And the people are going to have to attack the pig. The people are going to have to stand up against the pig. That's what the pastors are doing. That's what the pastors are doing all over the world.
We have brought to trial here Fred Hampton. You are here to judge between two conflicting testimonies. Somebody is lying. Now, reason stands. I reason is very clear here. That Private Jones, who had come from Sanford, North Carolina, would have no great desire to see Fred Hampton up in this trial. But Fred Hampton, a key figure in this community, has great reason for not wanting to be put in jail.
But the state's attorney and the state's attorney's office has reasons to see Fred Hampton in jail. We've got a new state's attorney, you see. And he said already what he thought about people that had different political beliefs than he had. his speeches sound somewhat like those of Hitler. And we know why he wants to see Fred Hampton put in jail. Why do I have a lot of arrests? Because of harassment. Why is that harassment? Because the people that harassed me have set up a problem that made me disagree with them violently, and they set up this problem in order to exploit me and other people like me. And why they want to get rid of me? Because I'm saying something that might wake up some other exploited people and some other oppressed people, and if all these people ever get together, then these pigs that are exploiting us, we'll be able to run them into the lake. That's why they want to get rid of us. And it's just, it's sort of like a primary thing with me. I'm the first move that they'll make. I'm a part of an organization. It will be the first organization they'll move on, because I happen to be a part of an organization, the Black Panther Party, that is the only organization, in fact, that has came out and stood up loud and clear and said that we don't care what anybody says, whether they have guns or not, and badges or 18 uniforms, if whenever they step outside the bounds of legality into the bounds of illegality, then we'll blow their brains out if they're bothering the people. And what makes them mad about that? They're constantly bothering the people. Anybody that's out there for the protection of the people happens to be in direct conflict with them. What makes them mad about it? What makes them mad about it is that they have black people and white poor people and red poor people and Puerto Rican poor people and Latin American Puerto Rican people of poor people of all descent. They had them caught up in movements based on racism when the Black Panther Party stood up and said that we don't care what anybody says. We don't think you fight fire with fire best. We think you fight fire with water best. We're going to fight racism, not with racism, but we're going to fight with solidarity. We said we're not going to fight capitalism with black capitalism, but we're going to fight with socialism. We stood up and said we're not going to fight reactionary pigs and reactionary state attorneys like this and reactionary state attorneys like Hanrahan with any other reactions on our part. We're going to fight their reactions with all of us people to get together and have an international proletarian revolution.
Right on.
And that's saying all power to the people.
Right on.
That's saying that no matter what color you are, you're just only two classes. And that's saying there's a class over here and there's a class over there. And the reason that this class over here has never did anything to get this class off its back, because this is lower, this is upper, this is the oppressed, this is the oppressor, this is the exploited, this is the exploiter. And these people in this class have divided themselves and say, I'm black and I hate white people. I'm white and I hate black people. I'm Latin American and I hate hillbillies. I'm hillbillies and I hate Indians. So we're fighting amongst each other. And you've heard the testimony of pigs here, and you got pigs of all colors, you know that. You got pigs that are white, you got pigs that are black, you even got pigs that are black and white. Propagating the same type of madness that this buffoon Hanrahan would be propagating if he were here himself. And why? Because they want to keep you to believing that I'm your enemy, and that everybody else that's black and that wears a lot of hair on his head and hair on his face, they want to keep you thinking that he's your enemy. Why? Because if ever you would disregard him and overlook him just for a minute and throw away that question of racism and started to deal with a little logic, then there would be no one else you could attack other than Hanrahan, other than Daley, and other than Tricky Dicky Nixon. If you make the right decision, then the oppressed people of the world will get complete satisfaction. I know you return a guilty verdict of not guilty.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is Melvin Seary Jr. and the Big Picture tonight. tonight I'm really discussing the black man, the black woman, the black family. It's a topic that I touched on a few months back and just wanted to really revisit this. Something that I think that we can't talk about enough. And I also feel like it's something that we don't talk about enough, because if we were more respectful of one another, certain situations and certain conditions wouldn't exist within our communities. And I feel like know that these conditions don't just exist within our communities, but I feel like they are perpetuated in our communities. Sometimes we are pushed away from being there for one another. And my job, my desire is to have us working together as a unit, to have us working together for the common cause of the black man and the black woman. And honestly, that's what this show is all about. It's about getting the black man and the black woman to work as a unit, to respect one another, to bring out, to help us bring out the best in one another. The black woman is needed to help bring out the best in the black man, and the black man is needed in order to bring out the best in the black woman. We need each other. We're each other's yin to the yang. We are each other's balance. See, and we need that balance because why? We need that balance so that our kids will understand their position, so that our young men will understand, grow up, be a black man, protect the black woman, protect my black kids, provide for my family, be a good man, be a honest man, be a humble man, be a man who is deserving of respect. Because see, respect ain't just gone. Ain't nobody, well, this is me. I'm not going to just respect you because of your existence. If you don't deserve respect, in my book, you will not get respect. And there are a lot of us who have fallen short of respect and being respectful and doing things that will bring about produce respectable people. And we, like I say, we can't wonder about why our youth behave the way they behave when we're not providing them outlets. We're not giving them options. And it's up to us, the black man, the black woman, the black family, to coexist as one and to move in the same direction. As long as we keep allowing this system to dictate how we move, how we treat each other, we're going to continuously end up with nothing while everybody around us continues to grow, thrive, succeed. Why is it that we are on the bottom? Why is it that we cannot shake it? And there are so many opportunities for us, plenty of opportunities. And like I say, in the midst of all this madness and calamity, we can be creating our own new normals. We can start to create things that are going to better our condition. It's about changing the condition. And when we start doing things that will better our condition, we can see those things, our children can see those things, and then they start moving differently. I see, I was talking to some brothers the other day, and, yeah, we live in a generation now where, you know, when we were growing up, there was no internet, there was no, you know, all this technology that we have available now. We didn't have all that. You know, you learned from listening. You learned from paying attention. And see, now we have to get in a mindset of how can we connect with the youth behind us like the elders connected with us before. It's about family. It's about giving our kids what they need to be successful. This bull that we are passing along to our kids right now. We're not even showing our children how to be successful in family. We're failing our children. I don't fault our youth. I fault us because we had what they didn't have, and we act like we're scared to tell our young people the truth about what's going on out here. So I see somebody wants to chime in. I've got callers on the line. I'm glad because I can talk, but I like to converse. So caller 4823, I'm going to open up your line now and feel free to say what's on your mind. Just introduce yourself to the people, and the floor is yours.
Greetings, everyone.
P. Peace. Peace.
Greetings, everyone. This is Kim J. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes. Welcome. Thank you for calling in.
Oh, welcome. You are very welcome, and thank you all for welcoming me. Hey, I came in a little late because I did work late this evening. But on the topic of family, I got to say that's a wonderful topic, and I like what I've heard so far. The only thing I would like to chime in, and it might have already been touched on, is that really and truly, the best thing that we can do for our people as far as family goes right now is we definitely need to start back to living the example of the extended family. And I'm not just talking about extended as in extended relatives. I mean the community family, because we seem to have been just really taken in by this whole individual thing that everybody's doing right now. There's no balance between knowing your place as an individual or an individual family and also knowing your place and how you fit into the community and how the community fits into your individual life, you know? And that's something that we as a people really need to get back to doing, and that's being a whole family.
I like how you said that.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, no. I was just going to say, you know, once we get back to being a whole family again, that's how we'll be able to reach those young children. Because right now they got the young children thinking that us so-called old heads can't communicate with them. They just don't understand. Everything is so, you know, separated. Anyway, that's all I want to say. I can talk too, so I don't want to take up everybody's time, but I did want to just throw that in there.
Oh, I appreciate that, Sister Kim. And take your time. You don't have to feel rushed. I like how you said that, the whole family, because that took me back when you said the whole family, because I got to thinking about my great-grandparents then and how I was blessed to have them in my life and how I got to
right.
see them. I got to see how my great-granddad loved and respected my great-grandmothers. You know, when
right.
you are, and those were the times, like my great-grandparents, I got to experience both of them well into my late teens. And they were together
right.
for 60-plus, 70-plus years. See, and those are things
oh, that is awesome.
Oh, yes, yes. And see, I got to see
I
that. And I know for...
Pleasure. Oh,
I know.
I'm sorry, I stepped on my cat.
Yeah, I know for a fact that during 70 years, 60 plus years, there were things that didn't always go smooth. But see, we had my great grandparents, anyways, I'm using that as an example, were resilient enough to love one another through the hard times. And I know that there were hard times. And the thing that we fail at now is we're too worldly. We don't treat our marriages as we should. We don't respect those vows that we say to one another. And I'm starting, you know, to doubt, do we really love each other as the black man and black woman? Because we need
oh,
okay. each other out here. And like I say, just talking about the whole family, it makes me remember my great-grandparents, my grandparents, and the camaraderie that family had back then, where you knew your cousins, you knew your aunts, you knew your uncles. You know, the funeral was not the only time that the black family came together. I stated this last night. We have always, as black people, been a sociable people. We have been a connected people, and we have allowed this system to take all that worked for us away from us. And family is the most important thing that we can give back to one another, and that's in my eyes, because with family comes respect, responsibility, and just the unity that family provides. you know. So
right.
I say we, and I stated this earlier, because in the midst of all this adversity that we're going through right now, we can be creating new norms that will work for us, that will work for our children, that will work for our grandchildren, and we need to be on that now, because right now, if this system shuts down, we have nothing. And a lot of and in some cases, we don't even have each other.
Right.
And that has
Say that
change.
Again. You know,
yeah,
I didn't have the pleasure of really meeting and knowing any of my grandfathers, you know, because, you know, like on my dad's side, my dad's dad passed when my dad was a little boy. So I didn't get to know him. And on my mom's side, she wasn't close with her dad, so I didn't get to know him.
Right.
Sorry to hear that. You know, so you are very blessed to have known your grandfathers. And about the marriage thing, marriage is a very tricky subject when it comes to us as a people, because, you know, marriage in this system is not what it should be. And that's why you have so many people who will argue that we shouldn't even get married. But what marriage is, what they have replaced with what they call marriage, is actually a covenant between two spirits and two energies that are connecting to grow. It's a covenant, you know, that's meant for people to come together and then to produce and grow. Well, nowadays, they have our young people so confused that they don't even know to look for someone that matches them or someone that could be a mate, because they've been taught to look at these artificial things on the outside, like cars, jobs, whether or not you got your hair done and nails done, and that kind of foolishness. So, you know, the marriage thing right now, you're right. We seem to not be exhibiting a love, a true love, or camaraderie even for each other, because we've gotten hung up on those things. That's my opinion on that. But you and I have a date to talk about that anyway, coming up in February.
Yes, ma'am, most definitely we'll be able to go in a little more in depth. I agree with everything that you're saying. I threw something else out there a little earlier, and I want to chunk it out there again, because a few weeks ago I was having some conversation with some brothers, and I told these brothers, you know, it's up to us, and same with the sisters, you know, it's up to us to give one another what we need. And I used the numbers earlier, and I want to just go run through them again, because right now, yeah, the black man has access to 7 to 8 women. That's just the ratio right now of black men to black women due to circumstances, some beyond our control, some by choice.
Yeah, it's by design.
Definitely.
It's by design.
Definitely by design. And I feel like, too, some of our brothers perpetuate that. And I'm not one to say things just to say them to get people on my team, to get people to feel like, oh, yeah, that brother is, you know. No, I say things because they're real, and I say things because they need to be heard. And I said this to these brothers. I said, if we will respect our women and stop trying to have 7, 8, 9 of them, maybe our women will stop being so insecure. Maybe then our women will appreciate and respect us as men when we behave as such. Because to me, having 7, 8 women has just never been me. And that, to me, is greed, the glutton of the male mentality. And I said some things that were a little rough earlier, but I call them pea hunters. And that's what they are to me. And to me, that type of male mentality is detrimental to the community as well. And nowadays, you also have Go ahead, sister.
Oh, no. I was going to say, and I think you were about to go here too, is that there's some fault in it for the women as well. Because if we know that a man is not about anything, if he ain't about nothing, then you don't need to be lollygagging around with him. But women now and girls have gotten to where they don't really care. In fact, it's probably more fashionable to be with somebody that's not about something, because they have taught our people to become phobic of being committed to something. You might remember being in school, and the older people used to say, I had a principal that said, the boys would go to class, and this is for the ones who were skipping and hanging out outside of the classrooms, right? The principal used to say, and this is when I was subbing, if the girls would go to class, the boys would go to class. If the girls are hanging out, the boys are going to hang out.
My. Yeah.
And I'm just saying, it's like each person, nobody's taking on their role anymore.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I agree with that, because I want to ask you something, sister, while your mic's open and while we're having this back and forth discussion right now. How do you feel? Because I'm kind of old school in my thinking, and
mm-hmm.
I believe that the man should definitely be the lead. You made some good points then. Where women will gather, yeah, men will follow. I had a brother, matter of fact, a couple of months ago on the show, who said those exact same things. I agree, and we you know, I agreed to disagree, and the reason that I disagree is because I don't feel that we should use one another as pawns just to draw one another in. We should do things out of just pure respect. And yeah, and I know that's a far-fetched dream, but I just feel like we should be more respectful to one another. And that's one thing that my granddad mm-hmm. told me years ago, you know, because sometimes as a black man, especially, all you have is your word. And your word is your bond. And if you cannot stand on your word and do what you say you're going to do, you are useless mm-hmm. as a man. And then as a black man, like I say, that is multiplied. And that's why I say mm-hmm. we've got to learn how to understand what we're going through. And what the black woman is going through, it affects the black man as well. And what the black man is going through, it affects the black woman as well.
Mm-hmm.
And on the marriage thing, because you said something that really grabbed me a minute ago, because sometimes I feel that we get too wrapped up in their system, and we do it better than
right.
they do it, you know.
Right.
And I can agree on the because I feel like this: if somebody's going to love me, they're going to love me regardless of a piece of paper or anything, you know, symbolic. They're going to love
right.
me because they love me. And I have often said, I may not ever get married again. If I could find a woman that loves me and I'm going to protect her and she's going to do what she's supposed to do for me as a woman, I can love her for the rest of my life. And I don't need this mm-hmm. system's permission to be with her for the rest of my life and respect her as the woman
right.
that she is in my life. Sometimes I think, like you said, yeah, we do let this system, we allow this system to dictate how we move, how we live. You know,
mm-hmm,
and in a lot of circumstances, we do not need them in the mix, period. Matter of fact, we don't need them in our mix, period. I'm
right.
just going to say that.
And that's the thing, is that we've taken on, and there are reasons why. It wasn't just because we, you know, chose to, but over time
oh, yeah.
we've taken on and accepted. And now we're choosing to just live in it. But at mm-hmm. the end of the day, because you know we had to have our own symbols. We had our own symbols of our unities. We've always governed ourselves, and something you said a minute ago just made me think about that, about how we don't need somebody to govern us and tell us what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it, how you're supposed to relate to each other. We've always governed ourselves until we came under their system.
Right.
Because they can govern themselves. So they felt like, oh, well, you know, hey, we can't govern ourselves, so we know they can't govern themselves, and if they do, they're going to throw us over. So let's make sure that we teach them that they got to be governed. That's how, you know, that's kind of how where we are now. And for the longest, you know, they claim, anyway, I got my story, my doubts about all these narratives and stories, but they claim that they used to not allow us to, quote, unquote, get married anyways. During a certain time period. But it didn't stop people from uniting in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that other ones of us knew which people were a team, which ones would come together. So we just got to get out of the mindset of operating in this system. That's the hard part. And it's the hard part and the easy part at the same time. It's easy. All we got to do is just start minding our own business, and we will come out of their system.
I agree.
I definitely agree.
Great opinion. I agree. I mean, because I've been saying it over the last few months, especially, because I'm starting to really see it now, you know, and the thing is, what I am seeing is we don't need them more than they need us.
Exactly.
And when we can start understanding that, we can change the narrative. Because honestly, that's my whole goal. I want us to all wake up and realize that we can, without asking them, change our condition for the better. And not only change it for the better, we can eliminate all the negativity that has been placed upon us for years and years and years. Because like I always, you know, I'm in belief of this, and I say what's true on this platform. We have never been inferior to any race of people. If you take a race of people and do them the way we were done, how many of them would still exist today? And then I think about our ancestors. Go ahead, sister.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just doing commentary. How many?
Exactly. Because I don't see many that could go through what our ancestors suffered and what we still continue to suffer today. And that's why I try to build people up and motivate them to let them know, see, we came from some of the resilient ones. Those of us who are still here living this life, see, we came from the ones that fought. We came from some of the intellectuals, the ones that could outthink them. And we have never, not ever in time, been outthought, been outcreated. If it wasn't for our ancestors, what would this country persist of? Because we
not
built
that
this.
Dumb thing. Right.
Exactly. And,
well,
and my
you know
thing
what?
Is if we,
well, let me, no, no, no,
really,
no, 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 no. Let me, I'm going to take that back.
Go ahead.
If we hadn't been here, you're right. This country would not be a doggone thing. However, if they hadn't been here, this whole planet, and I don't want to use the word planet, but this whole plane, we don't know the potential of what it could have been. Because it's because everything was based off of us. So that lets you know that this little bit that we have now that they want to call materials, our physical things, you know, your houses and all these systems that they have is based on us. So that means that without them, there would be nothing. Without them, there would be none of this stuff. But because we were able to make their little stuff work, that tells you that we would have had things out of this world if it had not been for the invasion. I'll just put it like that.
Very well put. Very well put. I'm in agreement with all of it. And it's just so much that we are capable of still. There's so many other things that I know as a people we're going to tap into. We're going to create because that's just who we are as a people. And there is always a need for us to transition as a people. Mm-hmm. We'll start doing things the right way or the so-called right way, and then we have to change from doing it that way to another way. We have always been a transitional people, and we've always been an intellectual people, because to survive as long as we have survived with an evil force trying to get rid of us, trying to extinguish our light, oh, yeah, it's something special in all of us, you know, and like that's what I want. That's what I want to pull out of us. And I want us to understand that it's important for us to work together. We are powerful together. Numbers, the power is in our numbers, in our unity. Our strength is in our unity. I get excited.
You just
when
can't
I talk
say
about
enough.
It, you know. Exactly. I'm passionate about this because, I mean, I'm tired of seeing us suffer, you know, and I know that we are much more than just a suffering people. We deserve much more, so much more than we get, you know.
Right. I agree. Absolutely agree. I know it's got to be more than me and you on here. Somebody else
got
to help me.
Yeah, I've got about three more callers, and I guess they're just listening right now, which I don't mind. I don't mind because, like I say, I do enjoy just the dialogue, and I think that it is important that the dialogue continues. Like I say, there are things we can't talk about this enough. See, and there are situations that are happening to us as a people systematically through this justice system, and we have yet to address it. You know, we dance around it. We ignore it like it's going to stop. And then next week, what do we have? A new hashtag, a new somebody else that if we were to just come together and unite as a people and tell them, hey, y'all finna stop this. And we're about to make sure that you're going to stop it and stay on it instead of just getting on it and jumping off, because we'll get on every hashtag, but we leave them. And then what happens? An injustice.
Right.
And then what happens?
And then,
another
then it's over. So.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I'm
exactly.
tired of these hashtags. The
Most
hashtags
definitely.
don't make no sense. And they're not real. You know, that's another one of those mines that they've thrown at us, like a bomb, is this concept of a hashtag. Because you got people who are okay with the hashtag. But I'm like, the hashtag ain't real. The hashtag is not a movement. The hashtag is exactly what it is, which is a representation of some thought that somebody has.
Exactly. Do have another caller I see now that wants to get. Oh, this is Sister Queenie. Let me open up this mic. Okay, your mic is open, sister. Welcome and thank you for calling in.
All right, greetings to you all tonight. Just wanted to speak on that hashtag that you guys just separated. You know, I'm on words these days about, you know, decoding all these words that's going around that's keeping us spellbound. And when you guys just said something about that hashtag and Sister Kim J just made mention that it ain't real anyway, Listen at that thing,
yeah.
Hashtag. It still has a deplorable meaning and a destructive hash when you cut something. Hashtag. Why does everything have to have a destructive meaning behind it? When they always put out stuff, and then here we go, you know, hopping on a bandwagon and all this,
mm-hmm.
and then we be putting that stuff out there, and there it goes. It's in the universe, and it's floating around, just like that word they started not too long ago with the children laughing, and they'll say, I'm dead. Why you got to be dead?
Oh,
why
my God. Yeah, that was
alive?
Bad.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm like,
yeah.
I have to start thinking about it. I said, wait a minute. Why is everybody running around here? And then the older people start getting on to it and talking about I'm dead. I said, what is this coming from? How did this stuff even start? It's like they plant this seed, and then all of a sudden, everybody's jumping on it. Well, you know what? Guess what? Everything around us look dead now. Everything around us is ugly now. You know? I mean, it is what it is. And it's like we have to start changing our narratives as a people and make sure we're watching our words, because words are very powerful. And as far as building up, we need to be building up. Somebody's doing something in the background that you can hear their water or something.
I'm sorry, y'all.
like you gotta put your phone on mute when you
on
when
mute.
You move
yeah.
around. Yeah. But yeah, so I'm like that stuff don't make no sense. And I said, if we start building individually, like, say, for example, you start doing something at your house. I'm doing something at my house. Kim is doing something at her house. Brother, whoever is doing something at their house. When we start gathering and building individually, that energy goes out and we come together collectively, if I got that right. That makes sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. That makes total sense that, you know, it's basically what you're saying is all it takes is for one person to do it. Once one person does it, then the next person does it, and the next thing you know, you got a movement.
Yeah, everybody's doing something, and then all of a sudden we all come together, and when we get on the phone, like, what will be good is, did we lose Mezzo?
Do
I said, did we lose Melvin?
I'm still on the line.
Okay. Well, what I was saying is, the next time we come together, we need to share, like, what did we do this week? What did we accomplish this week? You know what I'm saying? Did you know? Let's start talking about something that we did, because we have so many problems, but we never talk about, we talk about the solutions, but where's the actions at, though? You know, if you got a class together this week, say Melvin, for example, he got 3 or 4 children together this week, or maybe one child, and he taught his grandchild how to change a flat tire. You know, we need to be talking about stuff like that. If we build something, if you put some kind of energy out there to the universe that made anything positive, we need to start talking about what did we do to come out of this this mindset of stagnation, of just being in one place. You know what I'm saying? Like, we need to start
just existing.
Okay, yeah, what? Cause mm-hmm. That's what's happened, and that's what has got us in the place we're in now. If we go along with the everyday norm, but we're not doing anything to come out, because you know why? We're too tired. We go to work. We come home. We cook. We rest. We get back up. We do the same thing over and over and over again. Well, we have become something of type of a robot of the system without even knowing that you're a bot. You know what I'm saying? Because nobody mm-hmm. is breaking. And like, we've been talking now for years about
y'all, we need to come together as black men. We need to do this. We need to, well, you know, and our people used to be this, and our people used to do that. But you know what? I guarantee you, when I remember my grandmother and sitting up under the shade tree, I guarantee you they had something to talk about what they done that day. They didn't just sit up there and say, what this day done? They talk about, well, girl, you know, we went down to the graveyard and we cleaned the graveyard day. Oh, girl, you know, I planted some seeds and everything today, and girl, my garden is doing real good, child. Yes, child. So-and-so went this. You know what I'm saying? They was literally had conversation of doing. Those are conversation of doing something. We don't have conversation of doing anymore. Even though we're awakening, we do not go about things that we have done. And it doesn't matter how small or how large it is. It doesn't have to be that. We need to start talking about things we have actually done for that day. Like I think like Brother Wisdom, he had said, he gave accolades to a brother over there in England who had been building the pyramids. He's building something in his yard or something like that. He's actually building a pyramid, and he's like, I am so proud of him because that brother's shaking, you know, that brother's doing something. There's some more people who came up with the plastic bottles, you know. They was like, we ain't waiting for nobody else to build us no house. Since we can't get this stuff, we're going to take these plastic bottles and fill them with sand, and we're going to build us a house. You know what I'm saying? Like, we need to be putting that building energy out there. Then what happens? It's just like you're trying to be like the Joneses. Remember how everybody, when the Joneses got a brand new car, you made you work hard and you try to go get a brand new car too? You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like scenario with that the jealousy and the enviness. You know what I'm saying? But the energy.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
The energy started to trickle down, and then before you know it, you done build up something beautiful. Everybody doing something. Everybody cleaning up. Because right now, honey, something just ain't, this stuff just don't look right out here no more.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah, that goes back to what I was saying earlier, really, when and I've been saying this for weeks, and ever since the COVID shutdown. When COVID shut us down, I started saying this about 2 weeks afterwards on my podcast, on my lives, because I, being a truck driver, see supply and demand on a firsthand basis every day, and what I see is what we don't have. And see, that's why I say right now it's important for us to start creating some new normals that are normal,
mm-hmm.
and that are beneficial, and that are long, that can create longevity. Because, like I say, mm-hmm. the things that we need, we're not even close to, because we find importance. Men make it important for women to be on TikTok shaking their butts in the camera and disrespecting them, and then that becomes our new normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so sick. I'm not even gonna lie to y'all. I'm sick of seeing it. I'm sick of seeing our women feel
right.
like that's the only way that they can garner attention from a man. And then what are we? And look, today I get on there, and I see a girl who can't be any more than 7 years old. But what do you have? You've got thousands of people following her, hyping her up to do what? Dance for the people. And this girl's 7 years old. Who's recording their 7 year old, putting them on TikTok? Do they not know that it's pedophiles out here? Do they not know that there's a certain group of men that find that 7 year old girl attractive? But that's what we choose to do with our children, our young women.
Yeah, because they
see,
think,
and that
they
disgusts
think that
me.
You know,
when I saw that today, I said, whoever recorded that, need they ASSS whooped.
because I get tired of us using our children as pawns to get rich. And we don't have enough integrity. We don't have enough integrity as black men and black women to do things the right way. We put too much doggone. We put too much on value on a dollar bill. Money will never control my character. I don't care how big
that's
I get,
right,
how many platforms
right.
I get. I'm going to stay the course. I'm going to keep doing what I do. See, I'm not going to change my lifestyle to appease somebody else to make them comfortable. And we do a whole
that's
lot
right.
of that. We will bend and break ourselves to make other people
mm-hmm.
comfortable while we live an uncomfortable life ourselves.
That's right. That's right. And that's what has been going on. You do, and like I say, if you follow the money, you'll find the trouble. You follow the trouble, you're going to find the money. And that's what this system, this current, that's what this currency, because it's based off of negative energy. And that's what they done, you know, it's just done spread all over the world. And everything you do, you got to be doing to keep them in control through by their money system. That's messed up. And
no
our
doubt.
People, like, oh, exploiting the body and all that and everything, they think that's the only way you can get somebody to look at you. They don't forgot that they got a brain up there. And then if you do come talking with some sense or something like that, oh, no, nobody want to do that. And nobody want to hear that. Oh, but you can go listen to the preacher preach all day long and everything and talk about damnation and heaven and hell and everything like that, too. But, oh, but they ain't, but this is my biggest fight at home when I was fighting with the churches. Why don't, I said, with all these churches on every corner, we don't have a bank. We don't have a school. We don't have a decent daycare. We have no platforms to build off of. And then the children, they got to go over yonder to the rock, that they build up the rock to play basketball and everything. And then when the COVID shut down, why was all the white churches coming and getting our children and taking them to their churches? But the black churches couldn't open up. See, we got, see, all that kind of stuff is nonsense. There's no type of in these small towns or wherever, there's nothing that is tangible that we can teach our children. We have maybe two places in Dallas, and Kim J. know what I'm talking about, was Act of Change, and it was Pan-African. But, you know, we found that that was getting cultish, talking about the Pan-Africanism movement was getting cultish, and they wasn't really doing anything because we found that jealousy was based in the midst of that, trying to keep each other down, that crab-like syndrome. But the thing about it now mm-hmm. is that we, as a people, like we get on here, we need to be, like I said, bringing to the table what we do, what did we do, what, you know, something that we actually did. And I'm telling you, that energy is going to spread like wildfire because people are definitely doing stuff.
Melvin brought up a good point. And then, y'all, after I make this point, I'm going to have to go. But Melvin brought up a good point. And Sister Queenie, Sister Solomaine, you know you brought up some good points, too. Melvin,
you
mentioned how before when COVID shut everything down, in the midst of everything, that's exactly what it was designed to do. Because,
mm-hmm.
Queenie,
mm-hmm.
you remember what I had planned? And I was working
mm-hmm.
on it. I was literally in the midst of trying to find a small place so that a small number of us could get together
mm-hmm.
with our agendas to so
mm-hmm.
that we could actually set our goals and accomplish each thing no matter how large or how small. And it was going to be a
mm-hmm.
quarterly thing. So now we need to get back on that, and we need to just go ahead and just accept that we got to get back in the mindset of not us. We're already there. But we got to get our people back in the mindset of understanding that doing things at your home is not a bad thing.
It's not.
Mm-hmm. And because,
mm-hmm.
right, because we've gotten so into it's got to be done at a place. It's got to be done at a venue.
On the outside,
mm-hmm.
it's an outside thing again.
And that is how they are keeping up with everything that you do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
so yeah,
right.
We get that on that.
So. Yeah, we do. And because you, what Melvin don't know, like, I had my tutorial company, and I was just now getting off the ground. It was going well, no problem, you know. And all of a sudden, here that thing came and shut it down. But Kim J had a good point when she and I was talking at one time, how it's like they knew that we was rising up. Like, because it was a lot of black business.
They knew.
They knew.
Mm-hmm.
So did something
mm-hmm.
like she said. I mean, and
because
sudden,
remember
bam.
What I just said. People are having to reserve these outside venues, and when you
mm-hmm.
reserve the venue, you state what you're going to use it for. Most people
right.
get too
mm-hmm.
much information. They're going to say,
right.
"Oh, I'm
mm-hmm.
going to have a no speaker that's going to come and talk about such and such." You know. You know, that kind of thing. So they had a finger. They had a gauge. And then you got the people that were doing things online. So they knew.
Mm-hmm.
They literally mm-hmm. knew. So, yeah, they stepped in and said, okay, we can't. We can't take no chances. So. But, y'all.
I agree.
I'm gonna have to get off, but I'm gonna call back in case y'all are still on the line. But I just need to get off for a few minutes.
Okay. I'll be here till 9 o'clock. See, I got about 19 more minutes.
Okay. I'm gonna try to catch
right.
you.
Well,
and if I don't catch you
for just a minute, I'm gonna put you on mute though, Melvin. Yeah, I'm over here. But
okay. And Melvin, I'm going to call you anyway a little bit later if you're okay with that, okay?
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, cool. All right.
All right.
Oh, and bye, family that's listening.
Oh, literally. All right, Sister Kim, we'll speak soon. Yeah, I want to kind of piggyback off of what Sister Kim was saying just then, because that to me is really the most important thing that we can do. And I understand, look, I've said this several times on this platform as well. It is time for us to put aside organizational division. See, because honestly, I have spoke with brothers from the Guerrilla Mainframe. I've spoke with brothers from the Huey P. Newton Gun Club. I've spoken with several brothers from several different organizations. And my first thing that I always tell them, I don't really care what group you with. If you're not about blacks first, we really can't talk. Because my goal is black first. See, because we're not treated the way we're treated because we members of the Huey P. Newton Gun Club or the Guerrilla Mainframe or Black Panther Party. We are treated the way we are treated and despised the way we are despised because and only because we are black men and black women. And that is why we are look down upon, not because they don't target us because we Baptist. They don't even know if we Baptist, Church of God in Christ, or whatever denomination. But see, we cannot allow that to be divisive to us. We have to think black.
That's right.
First, and like I say, I'm not knocking anybody for how they move, but this is how Melvin Seary Jr. moves. Because see, Melvin Seary Jr. was a black man. Before I was a Baptist, before I was any damn thing else, I was a black man in America. And that's why I'm hated. And see, we got to understand that. And then we got to move accordingly. Because, see, I'm tired of seeing us become victims. Like I was saying earlier, I'm tired of saying hashtags and names when we can stand up and stay together in unity and kill all that. I agree with Kanye. How much longer are we going to allow this? Because, yeah, we allow this to continue to happen. Now, I will say back in the days of our ancestors, they didn't have much of a choice. They still had a choice, but their choice was life or death.
See, and today we have a choice that is not about life and death. Today we have a choice that we can make that's strictly about life and living it and then providing a life for our youth. Because, see, we see in Scripture play out, we got a weaker, wiser generation. What do they need? They need us. They need our guidance because they still got to deal with this element, this system that was not built for us, built by us, but not for us. And that's why I say we got to start putting black first. And when I see a sister out in the streets or a brother out in the streets, I greet them because I know what they're going through. I live it too. And I know exactly the frustration, the want to be able to just live and provide and do what we are supposed to do as individuals. And some of us as black men and black women have never been afforded that truth. We've never been able to truly live a life that is flourishing. We've never been really true to live a life that we can pass down wealth to our youth, where we can provide that generational wealth. And I'm just going to say this as well, because we got to start making our dollars work for us. And that's one thing that we as black people hate to part with is our dollar, but sometimes we got to allow that dollar to turn into two that will turn into five, that can turn into 10, 20, 100, 1,000, millions. And then we can say we did something. Then we can say I provided a future for my children. I provided a future for my grandchildren. I gave them something to stand on. I gave them something to hope and dream about. See, because whatever it is that we create, best believe that the generation behind us is going to take it to a whole nother level that we never have thought about. But we got to give them something to work with and stop begging this system for what we can do for ourselves. Oh, why we can't get it. Why we can't get it. I'm tired of seeing us struggle. I'm so tired of seeing us struggle. And that is all we
That's
do
the key word
in
right
this
here,
system
tired.
Right now. We struggle. I'm not going to say I don't love my struggle because my struggle has been my strength. My struggle has been my change. My struggle has been proof that I am a fighter. But my struggle ain't never provided me with what is truly needed. And our struggle is what binds us. And we got to learn how to struggle together. We got to learn how to heal each other, be real with each other. Tupac said it. And I always use that quote because it is time for us to heal each other. We all sick out here. We all under post-slave traumatic syndrome, whatever you want to call it, but we all suffer from that. I'm scared sometimes when I leave this house and I see a cop. I'm 52 years old. I shouldn't be nervous just from moving around, just from going from point A to point B, but that's part of being a black man in America. It's part of being a black woman in America. See, we've got to remove the fear. It's up to us to provide the safety, to remove the fear and promote longevity. Longevity. We all want it, but how many of us are willing to fight for it? How many of us are willing to sacrifice like our ancestors before us, like Mega, like Martin, like Malcolm? Because, see, if you're not ready to lose your life, to sacrifice your life for this, what are you doing in this fight? Because, see, it comes a time when you're going to live for something or you're going to die for nothing. And a lot of us are out here right now dying for nothing and ain't even trying to live for something. And that's the madness that we face.
You just said that.
See, think black
first. You said that.
Think black first. Think what you can do to better the condition for not you, somebody else. We got to stop being so selfish. We got to think for somebody, and we got to think beyond ourselves. We gotta sometimes we gotta think for the other man. See, that's what we had, and that's what we need right now. I got about 10 minutes, so I'm going to let Sister Queenie, I'll let you go.
I'm good.
So I'll let you say a few words. Oh, okay.
No, I just said I love everything you just said, and I mean, I'm just going to give it 100, I don't know if zillions of percent energy at what you just said, and I mean, I can't say it no better myself. That's all I have to say. That's just inspiring to me. To you know, you said what you need to say, and it touched my heart tonight. So I'm good. So I'm just I'm good. Maybe Kim J want to say something.
She's back on listening. She hadn't hit the one.
Yeah,
but
she on listening. Yeah.
I do appreciate you sisters contributing to the show tonight. I love when I'm able to dialogue with people as opposed to just presenting my commentary to the people. It really helps the flow of the show. And then, too, it allows the people to hear different opinions and different ways of how people are moving out here and how we're dealing with it. And that's my biggest thing, is just really bringing us together so that we can use one another for a positive gain. Because, hey, ain't nothing wrong with using it as long as you're using them for a prosperous reason and as long as everybody's benefiting. And that's the thing, putting the selfishness aside. I don't mind nobody using me. As long as we going to get something in the end, and that's what we got to get accustomed to and stop being so selfish and stop letting our egos dictate how we move. Because just think, like I said earlier in my commentary, it's so easy. All we got to do is the right thing. That's the only requirement. Treat people right. Treat people how you want to be treated. You don't look in the mirror and hate yourself. You look in the mirror and you love yourself. It's how you're supposed to love your brother and your sister. And we can get there. Oh, we can really move this world. Ain't no doubt in my mind. We are the one. And the world is waiting on us. So with that being said, I'm going to close tonight's show out. This was a very good show. Like I say, I want to thank all my listeners who are online, also the ones that called in to listen. Let's get involved, y'all. It's time to get involved. A closed mouth don't get fed. And see, we have the ability to do so much. We just don't know what we can do because we ain't tapped into it yet. We ain't got started yet. And we got to get started on reversing the spells, on reversing the mentalities that we have been given. See, and get back to who we truly are as a people, which are gods and goddesses. And that's who we are. We are connected. And that's why we are so hated and despised, because we have a connection that no one can attain. But we have to take advantage of that. Now is the time. So I want to thank my listeners online. I want to thank my listeners from Germany, my brothers and sisters in Nigeria, my brothers and sisters from Ireland, Canada, United States as well. I want to thank my listeners from Activate Radio, activatemedia.org, which I don't know which one they'll replay this Friday, but I'm just putting content out. Because I'm going to be changing platforms very soon. I've started putting the word out on that switch as well, which will probably be happening in the next couple of weeks. But you will still have a way to tune in. You'll still have a way to connect. And I'm going to, like I say, be putting that particular information out. I did share it last night. If you want to go ahead and download the app, It is http://thentms.com. Again, http://thentms.com, as in Nancy, T as in Tom, M as in Mary, S as in Sam.com. And you will still be able to listen to the podcast on that particular app. Like I said, I'm trying to get away from all these useless apps and these apps that promote us and coon us. And I'm looking, like y'all know, I'm about information, truth, and change. And it's time that we change the narrative. It's time that we change the condition, and it's up to each and every one of us individually to be part of that change. If you ain't ready, sit down and get out the way for those of us that's out here trying to do something different. And that's I'm going to leave with that. Like I always say in closing, let's plan, organize, and unify, because we all have a key. Everybody, thank you once again for listening. This has been the Panther Party Radio Network. This has been The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. I love you all, and we'll be back possibly tomorrow, but definitely next Monday. Everybody have a good night. I'm out.
All right. Thank you.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, because everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, because ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Clan used to rally downtown in my city, and you wonder why the race relationship so shitty? Show no pity, that's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city, it's all over the TV. Martin Luther King, I think about dreaming. Had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit, but the time and show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame, and never take no wooden nickels when they all change. Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the Tech 9 and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches, but why you in the club with some trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick, but it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Bree told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stunt. Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.
That was a good show. It was a good day.